Thank you very much. We are joined today on Zoom. This is April 23rd, 2024, and this is the Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. My name is Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract with Thurston County and about 12 other cities and counties, primarily up and down the I-5 corridor. As the county's hearing examiner, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the projects on today's agenda. Here at 10 o'clock, we are considering a request for shoreline substantial development permit related to a proposed geoduck duck aquaculture operation. And the next project, which is scheduled to start at 11 o'clock, is a preliminary plat and planned residential development. As we get going, I have some introductory remarks that will help everyone know when and how best to participate. Please follow along. If anyone needs to get my attention today, you should call me Ms. Rice or Examiner Rice. If anybody participating has requests how they should be addressed, let us know when you first testify. This hearing is being recorded by Zoom, and actually the audio recording created by Zoom is a crucial part of the legal record of this hearing that's being conducted today. Because that's true, it's my practice to ask everyone to please mute your audio when you're not testifying. That means any dogs or cars or anything in your background won't accidentally interfere with somebody else's testimony. Similarly, if you could check your cell phones, other phones, noise making things in your environment and make sure they're as quiet as possible, then we'll be able to hear you when it's your turn to testify and won't have to ask you to repeat any testimony. Please do recall, despite the virtual format, it is a legal proceeding, and so we need to do everything we can to make sure it is efficient, effective, and appropriate. Again, because I need to be able to hear all testimony, it's my standard practice. That's a funny one, testimony. It's my standard practice to ask people to make sure to try to speak one at a time. That's kind of hard because we're not in the same room. So if you need to interrupt, raise your hand, give us a gesture to let us know you're going to interrupt. When you speak the first time, I'm going to ask you to state and spell your name for the record. If you're a consultant or a county staff member, I'm going to ask you to give me your correct job title. If you're a member of the public, I'm going to ask you for either your mailing address or your email address for the record. Everybody will be asked to take an oath to tell the truth before they testify. The state of Washington appearance of fairness law applies to land use hearings, and so I will make the following disclosures. Again, I am not a Thurston County employee. I am on contract with Thurston County and about 12 other governments. This is what I do for work. This is all I do for work. I don't have any personal, familial, or professional interests anywhere near the properties that are subjects to the projects that I'm considering today. And I have not had conversations with anyone regarding the merits of either proposal. And because all of those facts are true, I believe I'm capable of issuing impartial decisions in each application before me today. Anyone who believes they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity, which would be during your testimony today. Another thing to keep in mind, land use permits are not decided by popularity or by consensus. A hearing examiner's jurisdiction is strictly limited to the determination of whether the evidence on balance succeeds in demonstrating compliance with criteria for approval or fails to make that demonstration. So I'm going to be reviewing the evidence to determine whether any applicable criteria for permit approval or development standards are unsatisfied. If the record fails to demonstrate compliance with all necessary criteria and standards, an examiner can't approve a permit. And conversely, if a record succeeds in demonstrating compliance with all criteria and development standards, an examiner can't deny a permit. And I'm belaboring that just to try to familiarize everybody with the universe of constraints in which I work and the rules that govern the ultimate outcome of the applications that are before me today. Please also understand, as the county's decision maker, I am limited to considering evidence that is admitted in the record before it closes. In the case of the shoreline permit, if there is an appeal to the Shoreline Hearings Board, that body will conduct its own fact-finding hearing. But in order that my decision on the Shoreline Substantial Development Permit can be the best possible and most accurate possible decision, it's necessary that I have all the evidence that's relevant to the determination before we adjourn today. So please make sure to bring anything that's relevant to my attention. during your testimony. In all applications for land development, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. And that's a legal term that means the applicant is the party whose job it is to provide evidence that succeeds in demonstrating compliance with those criteria for permit approval and also the applicable development standards. And although the burden belongs to the applicant in Thurston County, we hear from staff first. That's typical in many jurisdictions in Washington state. They tend to be more familiar with the requirements of the county regulations and also with the hearing process. So, order of testimony today will be first presentation by the county staff. I do have questions queued up for them. After that, we'll hear the applicant's presentation, and the applicant has this is their opportunity to add to or to challenge anything the county staff has said and to answer any questions that I have and to make sure everything that's relevant to the ultimate decision is brought to my attention before the meeting is over. After those two presentations, we'll go to public comment. And during that period, I will ask, please, staff and applicant representatives to join me in making note of questions and concerns that are raised by members of the public. We're going to hear from each member of the public who wishes to testify, one after the other. Whatever questions you ask, we will make note of. And then after all of the public has testified, then we will have responses to questions and responses to comment generally. And they will be first from staff and last from the applicant, because as the party with the burden of proof, the applicant gets the last say in these proceedings. So that's going to be our order of operations for each hearing today. At the end of that time, I will be closing the record and taking the evidence under advisement. I think all applicants have been apprised that I'm not announcing my decision today on any of the permits that I'm considering. I am required by county code to issue a written decision within 10 business days of the close of the record. Now, the close of the record, it won't close today, and here's why. In virtual hearings, it is my practice to hold the record open briefly after the close of the hearing to allow post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who tried to participate but were unable to do so because they had technology problems. So that means when we are done today, the record will be closed, except that I will be inviting post-hearing public comment from people who had technology problems. They will have two business days to submit it. If we receive any post-hearing public comment from folks who had technology problems, both staff and applicant representatives will have a parallel 2 days to respond. So there will be a schedule. And at the end of the hearing, I will tell you those dates specifically. Here's a heads up to the applicant in the first matter. Because of the pile of work in line ahead of you and the pile of work coming across my desk this week, I will be asking this applicant for a 5-day extension on that decision issuance deadline. You have the whole hearing to think about that. You're not obligated to agree, but I will be asking for it. At the end of the hearing, we'll have that conversation. You can let me know, and then I will give you the exact dates, the date public comment is due, the date responses are due, and the date the decision will be due. When we're completely done with today's docket, I will email that schedule in writing to Miss Katie, and she can forward it to the applicant and staff, and also can cause it to be posted online so that folks know. So that's our basic order of operations for this first hearing, which I will now officially open. This is project number 2023-103-926. Again, it is a request for shoreline substantial development permit to operate a geoduck duck aquacultural operation on tidelands of a property addressed as 9625 Steamboat Island Road Northwest. Before this hearing, staff provided me with a staff report and some exhibits so that I could be familiar and conduct an efficient proceeding. And really quickly, I want to acknowledge those documents. Exhibit one is the staff report to the examiner. Attached to exhibit one and spelled out in detail on the last page of the staff report are attachments A through T, as in Tom. And I did review all of those documents. Also in this matter, I think that's it, except for immediately prior to this hearing, I received an email which contains the Environmental Health Division's review of the proposal, and that document would typically be an attachment to the staff report. So I would like to identify that document, Madam Clerk, as attachment U, if that's okay.
Thank you.
Great, we'll make that document you. Again, I just got it. I haven't read it closely because I haven't had time. So with that, you're ready to hear from somebody besides me. Let's go ahead and ask the county staff member who is presenting this proposal. Please unmute, state, and spell your name. Give me your correct job title and allow me to swear you in.
Craig Chellum, Senior Planner with Community Planning and Economic Development Department for Thurston County, and we'll be presenting today.
Excellent, sir. If I could ask you please to, please spell your name for the record so we can everybody do that.
Craig, K-R-A-I-G, Chellum, C-H-A-L-E-M.
Thank you very much. And then, sir, do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Mr. Chellum, I'm ready for your presentation.
Hey, this application is for a substantial shoreline development permit to operate a shellfish farm in the tidelands in the mean low tideland elevations. The proposed project area is 0.42 acres with about the same area as fallow. Access to the project area occurs by foot or by boat. No nursery structures exist on the project, and all geoduck seed is planted immediately and by hand, or no, not by hand, I'm sorry. The only prep work is to clear the beach of sticks and large shells with a rake. Where possible, geoduck aquaculture is achieved through the intertidal planting of geoduck and protecting them using a 12-inch segments of 4-inch diameter PVC tubing. 2-millimeter nets and rubber bands will protect the seeds from predators, and an area net is then staked down, covering all the tubes in cultivation. The 2-millimeter nets and bands are removed after 6 to 12 months, and then the tubes are removed after 12 to 24 months. All the equipment is stored for reuse. This property is located in RL 2-1. It is in a rural shoreline management conservancy area. And this is subject to the JARPA and SEPA applications. Both have been submitted. The application was deemed complete on August 10th, 2023. And and the applicant has submitted some information. However, there are key elements of information that are missing. According to Thurston County Building Department, who is also the floodplain manager, Tim Rubert, who is not here today, but has provided basically a comment stating that if, according to his code, it is required. However, the applicant did provide an attachment. It is attachment T, which appears to be a regional Army Corps of Engineers assessment. The area is approved by the Department of Health for shellfish farming. However, we are moving forward without that additional information. The project is, should the examiner determine that it is approvable, staff has provided recommended conditions. I am available for any questions that the examiner has, or if you wish for clarification, additional information.
All right. You had stated a couple of times in the body of the staff report, as you're going through shoreline substantial development permit criteria and or the applicable provisions of the shoreline management program for the Thurston region. You had stated a couple times, quote, staff is unable to find the project to be consistent with the policy and provisions of the Shoreline Management Act and the Master Program. And I need some more testimony explaining what that statement means.
Well, it'd be helpful. I have more of the context of where I also know that in the staff report. So let me see, find the first one. Ah,
Tom.
here it is. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're looking at under on page three. Actually, it's top of page four, and you're responding to the criteria of WAC 173-27140. Staff is unable to find the project consistent with the policy of the SMA and the SMPTR. First sentence on the page.
Yep. Yeah, I see that, and it says that no authorization to undertake the use and the development of the shoreline of the state shall be granted to local government unless upon review of the use the development is determined to be consistent. Well, since we can't, as part of our local review, determine that or key information is missing, then we can't authorize the approval as it is presented.
Okay, so that statement refers to the missing requested biological opinion from Mr. Ruberg.
I guess that's it sounds more implied, yes.
Okay.
I should be more clear. And
So it's are just to understand if can you provide more information about what it is, Mr. Rupert? I know he's not here, but can we get more information about what it is he's requesting? Because
Yes. Actually, in section B, which is Title 24 of our own code, intertitled saltwater submerged lands, which is part of the floodplain. Tim Rubert requested our floodplain manager requested a biological opinion and habitat assessment. And his comment is captured in attachment O. So I
that's
am
it.
going to
That's all we
agree.
have from him, though, is the one line, right? Requesting a
Yeah.
biological opinion and habitat assessment for this project.
But since now you brought it up and stated it and said it that way, I'm thinking that maybe that comment should be changed because I made that comment based on the assumption that it needed to meet all of our criteria. But again, the state the question only states under WAC 173-27, the authorization undertaken use of this development on shorelines of the state shall be granted by the local government unless upon review and development is determined to be consistent with the state provisions of the Shoreline Master with the policies and provisions of the Shoreline Master Act. And based on my assessment under the goals and policies, for the most part, it does it appears that it could meet those requirements. I am not the most familiar with shellfish farms. But if the statement is just supposed to be in relationship to the criteria, I may have to make a note and clarify that for my and provide more clarity.
All right. You noted in the staff report, I'm scrolling to see if I can find it, that the subject shoreline, this is in the critical areas discussion. So we're on page three of the staff report. And it says the subject shoreline is mapped within the 100-year FEMA flood zone, sandland spawning habitat, and surf and smelt spawning area. What's the source of information for that, for the forage fish presence? What's the source of the mapping?
Thurston County geodata. And information regarding those two species would be provided in a biological assessment, a biological opinion and habitat assessment, which would also make recommendations, which, yes, we don't have. However, the applicant has stated, and I would ask the applicant to provide additional information, maybe briefly present their project, but has stated that the project is below the zone that, surf smelt make their habitat in.
Okay. And of course, the applicant will have a chance to speak to this naturally. Just trying to make sure I'm clear on the county's position. One point of clarification, the document that I obtained my exhibits off of the Thurston County Hearing Examiner website. The documents attached as the MD, as the DNS, in the face of that document, it says it's a determination of non-significance, but the title of that document, the title of the PDF,
yes,
is MDNS. So I'm just confirming it's a DNS, typo. Not an MDNS.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, there were no...
there are no mitigation measures.
There are no off-site mitigation measures.
Mr. Chalam, there was public comment on the proposal. One person was concerned about impacts to wildlife and the marine environment generally. Another comment was submitted a copy of covenants, conditions, and restrictions associated with the subdivision in which the property is located. I believe those comments were from the Homeowners Association or representative of the Homeowners Association, which claiming that the CCNRs prohibit commercial activity. Does your department have any response to that public comment?
Thurston County does not enforce HOA covenants or conditions.
Okay. Does the county, I understand that, and that's the response I was expecting. What I want is a little bit more information. This GUI duck operation is intended to be a commercial activity, and your department is clear on that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if the homeowner association wants to contend this commercial activity, then this is not the proper venue for that. Is that what you're essentially saying?
Correct. They would take that up as a civil matter.
Thank you for that. That's all I have for you, Mr. Chalam. Thank you for your testimony. I see we have the representative from Environmental Health here, sir. I'm wondering if I could have some testimony from you just because I haven't had a chance to read your memo, which I received this morning. Could you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Yeah, my name is Kyle Overton, KYLEOVERTON. And I'm a senior environmental health specialist with Thurston County Environmental Health.
Thank you. Can I swear you in, please? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Overton, I didn't have a chance to read your memo. Can you give me a summary?
Briefly, during my initial review, the only remaining question I had was regarding restroom facilities for any workers associated with the project. Recently, I received some correspondence from the applicant that indicated the project would be operated by the property owner and his immediate family, and that restroom access would be provided in the residence being served on the parcel. And that was the kind of extent of my comments. It was a recommendation of approval for the project. We had no conditions.
Okay, so the use of the residence's restrooms is adequate for your department's purposes?
Correct, as long as it's for the immediate property owner and his immediate family.
Okay. Based on that, does there need to be a condition on approval, if approval is granted, saying that only employees may work, only family members may be employees, unless additional restroom accommodations are made for non-family employees or anything like that?
That could be a condition, but it's in his application materials and his responses, so I think it's part of his proposal.
Okay. Thank you for working through that with me. I just wanted to have that conversation on the record. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I see we have Public Works here. Does Public Works have any comments on this proposal?
No, we don't.
Thank you for standing by in case we have questions that are appropriate for you. All right, that's it for the county. Are anything else, Mr. Challen, before we hear from the applicant?
No, not at this time.
Okay. You hadn't muted, so I didn't know if you wanted to add something else. We are ready to hear the, no worries. We are ready to hear the applicant's presentation. Sir, if you would unmute, state and spell your name and let me swear you in.
Yeah, thank you, Examiner Rice. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so Steve Zimmerman, STEVEZIMMERMAN.
Excellent. May I swear you in, please? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Mr. Zimmerman, what testimony would you like to give?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have been working with Confluence Environmental Company, Thurston County. They do a lot of work, Thurston County, regarding the biological assessment and hazard assessment, or biological opinion and hazard assessment. And it's, you know, their opinion, and I'm literally working with, I've said this in my submittal, a senior principal, Chris Sesla. I've worked with him in the past. And he's convinced that, and I included it in my submittal, that a biop HA is not needed for this particular site. So, you know, based on, and I'm, forgive me, I'm not a marine biologist, but, you know, I'm basing off his opinion, and what he recommends is my submittal. So he was not able to join. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I'm, if I needed to go deeper and get this, he would probably join in a future meeting, but we were trying to avoid him joining at this from a cost perspective. He provided these opinions, and he thought that might be enough. So, so I'll shut the door on that. Certainly there's future discussions on that regarding the smelt and the shorelines that for a spawning, literally, and I do this on my own, my other properties, there'll literally be zero impact. Well, there's always impacts. There'll be minimal, if any, impacts. We're going to leave all the shorelines that are on the meander line intact. There's going to be, I mean, the only thing that's removed from those is garbage. And there tends to be garbage that lands on my site because of where it's situated in Totten. And so that's, I mean, and I'll say completely honest, the only other thing that was removed is some a piece or two of driftwood that my wife liked. I mean, literally, that's it. We've landed by boat. So there should be, you know, nothing zero, but minimal impacts. Obviously, there'll be, based on the, if the islands are seeded, you know, there's a different wave action. I mean, I don't think that'd be significant in any way, shape, or form, because it's much further down the tide lens. But, you know, I mean, that's always minor impacts, but the spawning area will be impacted, left as is, with the only removal of garbage. Yeah, I mean, the tidelands won't be seeded anything above like a plus two, and where the spawning location is much farther up the beach.
You know how far? Can you say how far?
From a length perspective, like those feet, as far as
elevation,
elevation. I don't know where that. I don't know how high up the. I mean, like a plus three, plus four, plus five. I mean, it's definitely higher than where we seed. You know, the funny part about tidelands is it's different. Where there's a cliff and the water hits that, obviously they don't spawn in the cliff, right? Or if you had a bulkhead there further down the beach, the beach, I'll call it beach area, that where the tidelands come up is completely natural. It's not been impacted in any way, shape, or form. There's no bulkheads, nothing. In fact, it's a nice spawning area. Lots of debris. So, and then just the one caveat is my immediate family work it. Sometimes my son's friends come and they would also access the bathroom in the house. So, I mean, it's immediate family most of the time, but everyone would just use the facility and the home. I think those were the three things I wanted to cover, and so great. Examiner writes, I think I'm done.
I have a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Let me start with the staff report. I gave a name for the proposal, and I want to know the correct name that this project should have in my document. Mm-hmm. Steamboat Island Shellfish Operation, is that the name of, or is this just the Zimmerman Goon Duck Farm? What?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest thing to name it is Zimmerman Shellfish Operations, but then put the address 9625. So that's great. Enough. You don't need to say Steamboat Island. It's just 9625.
Got it. Mr. Zimmerman, did you have a professional survey done to identify the boundary of your tidelands?
Absolutely.
And yep. Is that in the record?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think it is, but I do have. I was professionally done last year, so I can add that and is email to that.
We definitely want that.
Yep. I absolutely did that last year, so it's current. With markers. It was not an extreme low tide, which gets complicated, but they marked it as best they could. So
what kind of markers?
They're standard. They're metal with the, you know, with the, I mean, it was a professional firm out of Shelton that lots of shellfish farmers use. It wasn't Joe Schmo's Auto Shop or something like that.
Got it.
I'll provide that. Anyway.
Just to clarify, were they corner markers replaced?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So you'll be able to.
There's seven markers just along the edge.
Okay. Great. Miss Katie, I don't think we have an exhibit two. Should we make this tide survey exhibit two? Okay. And we'll get that. The way we would get that, Mr. Zimmerman, is you would email that to Miss Katie after the hearing, and then she'll include it to the record and forward it to me.
Yep.
How can you please provide testimony explaining how you can ensure that your aquacultural activities would be contained within your private tideland boundaries?
Well, the easiest thing to do is you plant and then you put this area net that essentially is, I mean, a simple analogy is, you know, your rack on top of your car, and you stretch a net over it with, you know, sort of staked it down, you know, with bungees or something. It's literally tied down and it keeps the tubes, it keeps the nets, and it keeps the bands in place so they don't get off your property. When the area nets are removed, you typically remove sections of them and pull up the nets and bands. The area nets go back down so the tubes don't, you know, some of them pop out, some of them are washed on shore, you know, just tidal actions that the area nets typically hold them in place. So that's sort of what we emphasize, and that's what we do.
Okay. So you plan to use both individual tube nets and bands with an area net over?
Yeah, you need the area net just because I think this has got tons of tidal action. It's based on where it's, you know, what I'm hearing from some other folks nearby is, it gets plenty of tidal action. So yeah, they're going to have their area nets are
part of the plan.
And I mean, I, everyone says they have the cleanest beach. I mean, tubes pop out and sometimes they get, you know, sideways or held under area nets. You just have to come and pick them up. So the area nets provide additional level of security to keep, you know, the tubes on your location.
Okay. Reading through the JARPA, it identifies tubes, nets, bands, and docks as project costs. What docks?
I have no I plan on no docks. I don't remember submitting any. There's no plans for a dock. There's no plans for, I have no plans for a buoy even.
Great, thank you. Sir, where will you get your gooey duck seed?
Locally, do you want the specific? I mean, I typically get them from Taylor Shellfish, Seattle Shellfish. I do not have a nursery. I'm a small farmer, Examiner Rice. So I get the seed from local.
So it sort of sounds like you're talking like you're already doing this someplace else. Are you operating other farms?
Yes.
And can you, information about those, please?
Yep. So the current residents out Steamboat that actually is on Eld Inlet. I have a beach at my residence, and I use my lease my neighbor's beach. So essentially, it's one large lot. It's two separate lots specifically, but it's just an area, and we do the exact same practice. We have tubes, nets, area nets. There's not much difference in that. The address I can provide if needed.
I'm just, I wasn't mentioned anywhere, so I didn't know that you were already engaged in aquaculture elsewhere.
Yep.
How long have you been farming?
2006.
All right. And I assume that's going well, and that's why you want to expand operations.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's I mean, it's farming, so it's not, you know, there's lots of constraints. I'm a small farmer, so, you know, getting seed is sometimes difficult. Getting it harvested, getting it sold, everything is shipped. Literally 95% is shipped to China. That's had some complexities. So it has been lucrative in the past.
Okay. In this other farm, is it the same employees?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And same prep, you know, same as far as use, bathroom. So we have no difference.
Okay.
Identical methodology.
How many total workers?
I mean, for 98, I mean, it's mostly, I have three boys. So, I mean, occasionally, I mean, they just had a friend down a couple of weeks ago. I mean, but just, it was literally five of us, myself, my three sons, and then a friend, but.
Okay.
That's not typical.
Tell me this on the proposed farm. I understand it's a high marine bluff. So you're going to, how do you access the farm?
There's a couple of different ways to get at through. There's a, you know, I have a boat. You can get at it through boat. There's some access through some neighbors. There used to be a stairs on the property that was washed away and estimated from a person that did some evaluated the tree height and tree age about 2004. So that is all gone. We have no interest in building new stairs. We'll just access it. There's a couple of places to get it through, and I've communicated with neighbors both to the south and north. So just by foot or by boat.
So to get to the restroom by boat, what's that entail?
Yeah, I mean, so I do have a bathroom on my boat, or, you know, there is something on that. So if that's needed.
I'm just trying to picture the practical.
Yep. No.
Way that works, you know, nature and
yep.
all.
Yep. Yep. I do have a facility on the boat. It's a small boat, but it's got a little facility.
Okay. And then you said there's a way to get up the bluff or down up and down the bluff face through neighbor properties.
Well, there is a way. I mean, it's a.
Is that
there's
formally
a,
recognized anywhere?
I mean, my kids think they want to rappel up and down, and they think that's a reasonable and a rope ladder that actually gets rolled down the cliff. That's something that they're very interested in building and creating. So I don't know if that's within scope as far as discussion here, but yeah, there's a couple of different ways to get up and down the beach, both to the south and north.
Okay. Just so I'm clear, the boat, if you were to use the boat to access the site, in order to get from the boat to the house, you have to park the boat in a marina and then drive to the residence, right?
No, typically but anchor, it's you. So when you work, 99% of the time, there's tons of beach available because you're working on lower tides. So you just drive it up on the beach and, you know, or anchor it, and then you access the house, if that makes sense. Did I not answer that question? You look like I didn't.
I'm just still setting aside the rappelling and rope ladder options.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how a person gets to the house from the farm.
There's a shellfish operation literally like not far to the south of me, and they've got a ramp, and they actually have a cabin on the beach. So, and they're also interested in, or they're nice, and they're going to help us, and we, you know, sort of trade labor or whatever. So, I mean, as far as using the boat, which we've done in the past, it's, you know, the boat would be there every time we're probably planting, just because I, you know, or drive, but it just makes sense just to have it as an option. And it would be either anchored or, you know, they're typically just kept near the site as you're working, run aground, or, I mean, they're not, and we'll, you know, they're not permanently there. They're just there for a couple hours.
I didn't understand the thought you started about the neighbor who has a cabin on the beach. Is so that person also has a farm?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are letting you use their cabin, or you
no,
are able
just
to
access.
Access.
Just access. Road. Just footpath.
So you're able to access your residence via a footpath on their property.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this formally acknowledged anywhere? Do you have this in writing anywhere?
No, but I would, yeah.
Okay. All right. Where do you get your supplies? The solid PVC tubes. You're proposing solid tubes, right? Solid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We've had them. I mean, we purchased, based on our current, cycles, we're not planning on purchasing new ones. We're going to reuse ones from the other location, and they would just be taken over. There's literally no room to store anything at this site. So they would just be, I don't think I need to procure any. I mean, if they typically are procured, I procure them through a local H.D. Fowler, which is a Lacey company. There's no place to store anything there, so everything would have to be, you know, so brought in.
All right. I didn't see anything in the materials about measures that would be implemented to protect forage fish habitat and prevent impacts to the environment during periods of high access, like planting and harvest. I don't have anything in writing from you saying how you're going to avoid impacting the forage fish. Normally, I'd have a critical area report prepared by a qualified professional that would explain how impacts to the forage fish are being avoided.
Okay.
Is there anything else you can give me today that explains how your farm, what measures your farm will implement to avoid impacting forage fish habitat?
Well, I mean, my understanding is typically the forage fish are higher up the beach. Again, I'm not a marine biologist, but you know, there's zero impacts to that area with this. I mean, in fact, my current beach that I operate on Eld Inlet, I've actually expanded the added more opportunities for forage fish on my beach just because I don't use that, right? The limbs, you typically want to remove them off the and get them closer to the meander line, which is where forage fish spend most of their time, based on my understanding.
Okay. And any information about the intended timing of planting and harvest activities?
Great question. So this, obviously, we're in the middle of plant season, and I don't think it's going to work out this year. Obviously, I have an HOA to work out. So I think we'd be looking at 2025.
Okay.
But then typically the spring, it's spring of a season. So you could say Q2 2025, if that's a round number, or Q2, Q3. I typically don't do any planting in all low tides in the summer are in the middle of the day, and all of them are in the middle of the night in the winter. It's not that much fun planting in the dark.
Oh, come on.
It's cold and wet. So yeah, Q2, Q3, 2025 is probably as early as it's going to happen.
All right. What's your background that got you involved in shellfish aquaculture?
Stupidity. I mean, no, it's been lucrative. Lucky timing, really, to be honest. I just have some friends. Seattle shellfish owner is a friend of mine. I grew up locally on Cooper Point. I know some tailors, Bill and Paul. I live about 600 feet to the south of Chelsea Farms. And so I know them well, and it's literally just osmosis being in. When we purchased this house and the Tidelands, we had, you know, there was no interest in any commercial operation. It was just, so.
Okay. And you've just said, when I asked about timing, you said you understand you've got some HOA issues you got to work out. Any information to share about that at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I made an update to the sign that is posted at the property right now. I'm assuming I can take it down after this, but I can certainly make that clear. But we literally add a little addendum, the note from the property owner. We need to remedy whatever conditions the HOA has. So I don't know. I mean, in hindsight, I'm not sure I would have purchased it, but that's all behind us. So my current house also has similar conditions on that, but people have let the Tidelands be operated upon. I don't know or think that the Carline Beach will let that happen. We'll see. So I knew some of that. I just was naive in some of the so I absolutely need to make sure I work out with them. You know, I mean, the other person that wrote an email, Jill's, I'm going to mess up her last name, Skok, S-K-O-K, neighboring property. I mean, on my beach where I currently work, there's otters or, you know, and wildlife all the time. I've got a, and ironically, once the tubes are in the ground and the gooey ducks, great blue herons love the area because it keeps the forage fish in closer to the beach. So yeah, there's, anyway, I mean, there's two sides to that coin. I'm sure there's, I mean, people are going to have a different opinion there. It's, I'm sure, but they should be, I mean, we will not impact it. My goal is no gas, no boat there permanently. It would not be docked. I have no plans to put a buoy. That simplifies any sort of boat hanging out in front of the property. So,
okay.
Did that answer that question?
It did. Just okay. Now I'm curious, if you live at the old inlet farm, who lives in this residence?
My son, Jacob.
Great. Anything else you want to bring to my attention before we go for public comment?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let us have the hearing clerk help me find out. Do we have members of the public who want to testify in this matter?
And we've been getting more joining, so I'm assuming they're for the next project. But any member in the public, if you'd like to testify on this project, please raise your hand. That's on the bottom of your Zoom screen.
And again, this is the Shoreline Substantial Development Permit for Gooey Duck Farm off of Steamboat Island Road.
I'm not seeing any hands raising. We've had a couple people here, but I recognize them from commenting on the next project.
The other project, right.
Increasing now.
And it's almost 11, so it's no wonder they are joining us. Last call for public comments on the Shellfish Operation Shoreline Substantial Development Permit. Please use the raise your hand function in Zoom. On my screen, it's a toolbar across the bottom. Looks like no public comments. Let me go to county, and am I missing anything, Ms. Katie?
Nope.
Nope, okay, no public comment then. Let me go to county staff. Mr. Chalam, any other comment after testimony from the applicant?
Yes, thank you. Backing up to your initial question with respect to review criteria development, WAC 173. This was under on page 3, section C. And I stated that unable to find consistent. While we were talking, I did look up that section of the code. There was not a reference to Thurston County's critical area ordinance. So I would like to amend that comment to read that the project would meet Thurston County's shoreline management program if it meets all recommended conditions.
I'm not following you. I'm sorry.
Well, I said that when I said that the project staff is unable to find the project to be consistent with the policies and provisions, I was considering that as a whole, as if it had to meet also a Thurston County's ordinance provisions and not just the shoreline management program for Thurston County. But in looking at the shoreline management program for Thurston County, it does not state that it has to meet Thurston County's, any other Thurston County ordinances. Does that make sense? Not in that particular section to say that it has to meet Thurston County zoning code.
No, I'm really not following the change. This, you were reviewing compliance with the state regulations that apply because it's a shoreline permit, and I don't understand your current testimony.
Well, in reviewing the state shoreline management program for Thurston County, and in the research for best management practices, there are elements that are necessary, which are, you know, recommended as conditions. So without those, I can not, that statement is true, but when I opened up my comment, I said that that's because I answered that in consideration to not having a biological opinion habitat assessment. And so, which is my second comment that I wanted to make of the two. The but sticking with number one, I am unable to find that the project is consistent with the policies and provisions of the Shoreline Management Act. I might be just confusing myself at this point. going to reconsider that because I wanted to look at the code element because of what my earlier statement was.
Do you want to, I don't know what to do. I'm not at all clear on what you're saying now. I don't know if you want to try to.
But I wonder if it's not more of a non sequitur at this point.
Okay. You had a second point you wanted to make?
Yeah, I was looking at my conditions here at the end, or the staff's recommended conditions, and I opened up with the preamble in relationship to the applicant has stated that the response in the communication matrix, attachment I, INT meets the Thurston County's regulatory requirements for a biop and noted in the SEPA checklist that this farm is situated above below the spawning elevations for the sand lamps and surf smelt. And I say earlier that we would need a biological opinion and habitat assessment as called out by Tim Rupert to analyze this and to make recommendations. And I, looking through the 1 through 15, I may have not made that a formal recommended condition that a biological opinion habitat assessment be required should the regional assessment provided by the applicant be deemed inadequate. Staff did take a look at that regional assessment and it did determine that it did not meet our code, and that's why Tim Rupert is asking for the biological opinion habitat assessment.
Okay, so you're basically, so there should be, you're saying there should be, Mr. Zimmerman, you will have a chance to speak again before the end. So Mr. Tallum, you're just saying there that you would add a condition saying there should be a project specific biological opinion and habitat assessment performed.
Yes.
All right. Any other comment from environmental health based on the testimony about accessing the bathroom?
Yeah, the only comment I would have is, from my recollection, other similar projects have proposed the use of restroom facilities on boats used for the project, and that was acceptable in the past. It wasn't proposed initially during the review of the project, but I think if there is adequate restroom facilities on the boat being used, that would be acceptable as well.
Is there a minimum threshold for, are we talking about peeing in a bucket, or are we talking about actual head with like flushing that gets emptied elsewhere? I mean, is there
the code only requires that restroom facilities be provided. So as long as there's no discharge of sewage or effluent, then that should be adequate.
Okay.
And it's being disposed of properly, of course, after they get rid of it off the boat.
Great. Thank you, sir. Anything else from the county before we hear applicants' final comments?
Not for me.
All right. Mr. Zimmerman, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Examiner Rice. So, we will dispose. I mean, it's a The effluents do not end up on the beach.
It is shellfish you're growing. It is intended for human consumption.
Yeah. The goal is to make some money off this, not to have them. So thank you for that. But yeah, no, it's we'll make sure the heads are not dumped there. But and then I just happened to open up that link. I mean, this was provided by Chris Sesla by Confluence. It's literally, I mean, the start of this. Based on his opinion, neither a floodplain permit or habitat assessment is needed. I mean, that's literally what he's emphasizing. I understand you guys have a different opinion, but that's what. So, I get there might be some continued review on this. I've got time on my hands, but it'd be nice to at least come to a decision where I think it aligns with or we agree upon. So, per that document on that link in the matrix, it literally has information on the floodplain permit and habitat assessment. And I'm sure you guys looked at it, but I'm looking at it again now. So I'll stop.
Okay. All right. I had told you at the top, sir, I needed to ask for a 5 business day extension to the decision issuance deadline. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Thank you for that. So this will be our post-hearing schedule. We are, Mr. Zimmerman is going to provide a copy of the survey performed last year of the property of the Tidelands. That has been admitted as Exhibit 2. Sir, that should just be emailed to Miss Katie, and it can be forwarded to me anytime in the next few business days. Not a problem. No other documents were identified. No other known existing documents were identified and admitted. So the only other item the record is held open for expressly is post-hearing public comment from people who have had technology problems or unable to participate in this meeting due to technology problems. The record is held open through April 25 for comments, written comments from such people. They had technology problems. Reasons they couldn't join the meeting. If we get none, the record closes on 4/25 and the 15 business day decision deadline is May 16. If there is timely post-hearing comment from people who had technology issues, I would ask county staff, it would normally go to either Miss Katie or Mr. Challum. Whoever receives it, please forward it to the other and also make sure it gets sent to Mr. Zimmerman immediately. I'm going to ask staff and applicant representatives to respond in writing for the record, just so that it's clear that you received it and reviewed it, even if you have no comments. Your responses in writing are due. You have 2 business days also. That comes out to April 29. The record would then close on April 29, and the 15 business day decision issuance deadline becomes May 20th, 2024. I believe that's everything. Did I miss anything, Miss Katie? All right. Thanks very much, everybody, for your testimony today, and I look forward to issuing you a timely decision not later than May 20th, 2024.
Thank you.
This hearing is adjourned.
Take care.